It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. From Appleton, Wisconsin to Notre Dame to the battlefields of Vietnam to the Pittsburgh Steelers and four Super Bowl titles, Rocky Blyer has had an amazing journey. And that journey continued last week when he returned to Vietnam for the first time since 1969. Rocky Blyer, thanks so much for joining us on The Confluence.
Hey, thanks very much, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Rocky, why was the timing right now for this return to Vietnam? Were you maybe not ready 5, 10, 15 years ago? Why now?
Well, it started 10 years ago, idea of going back to Vietnam. And it was just a time factor. And maybe things all work out for the best, as we well know at times. So it all fell into place where I did it for ESPN. We went back to shoot it. So a coordination of all the talents and so on, it just happened. And it was probably... For me, it was very cathartic, and it was getting back into that place, and so it went, and it worked.
Right. Yeah. I want to get a little bit more into that, your reaction to it. I mean, several Pittsburgh area veterans traveled to Vietnam earlier this year, marking the 50th anniversary of the Tet Offensive, major series of battles during that war. They said it was a very emotional experience for them. Bringing back some difficult memories. What was the experience like for you?
Well, you know, it was really a reconciliation, I think, of exactly what took place and then those years, that span of time. You know, it's been it's 49 years for me, 50 years for a lot of people, but it's just been time. And so you have in your mind's eye what took place with you. And if you look back and you talk to individual Vietnam veterans who went back, it was all their personal war. It was their own personal feeling. Over the 50 years, Vietnam's changed. I mean, the landscape's changed. Jungle takes over. Everything that we have done at one time, some 50 years ago, in our mind's eye, look this. Well, it's not that way anymore. And I think it's really the reconciliation of a time spent knowing you can't change the past, people that we lost, a senseless war, why were we there? All those thoughts, whether you either come to terms with them, all come flowing back. And it happened to me. I was in the rice paddy right where I got hit, where we were in a firefight, and was asked the question, how do you feel? Much like you're asking now. And all of a sudden, I got this overwhelming sense of loss. And for what? And I couldn't put my hands on it. I didn't know why. Because I thought I had come to terms with Vietnam, in my experience specifically. I talked about it for 50 years. You know, we had a movie.
The original Fighting Back.
And so for me, it was a cathartic experience at that period of time to terms with whatever I felt there because I talked about it. Unlike the average Vietnam veteran coming back who repressed his feelings because of what was taking place here, because of how they were looked upon by the general public, the unpopularity of this war. They repressed feelings, go back to either school or work or got married and, you know, and went on with their lives without ever having been recognized and or talk about it. And so now when you go back and you have to deal with those feelings, it's really an experience.
Yeah. Maybe some folks don't know your story. They just know Super Bowl champion Rocky Blyer. But after graduating from Notre Dame, you drafted by the Steelers, then you got drafted again by the Army. Wounded both legs, one bullet, another grenade shrapnel, I believe. So when doctors told you, probably the end of your football career, when did you say, no, you're wrong?
Well, you know, I think when I tell people this, and this is my comparison, is that when we were growing up, I don't care who we are, whether you played sports or not, you played in the backyard, you had pickup games, you played in parks and so on, and as a child growing up, you had your sense of injuries. I mean, you'd skin your knee, you know, you got a bruise here, you got a pulled muscle here, you might break a finger, and oh my God, you thought the end of the world was going to happen, but what do you you find out, well, eventually kind of heals, you know, you get a cast or whatever it might be. And then soon thereafter, poof, you're back playing in the backyard. And so that's what kind of sports did within my realm. And so when I was injured, you know, you look and you say, okay, fine. Fortunately, I did not lose a major part of my body. I didn't lose an arm, didn't lose a leg. I could function. Well, okay, what did you learn? Well, in time it heals, and ultimately you go back and you play. So that was kind of my mindset. And the focal point was that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to come back, at least come back to try to make the Steelers. So that became very, very focused for me and a driving point, which in the long haul was probably pretty good coming through that experience, having to deal with Vietnam and coming back to Pittsburgh here.
Right. So in 1975, this was after the struggles. It wasn't immediately discharged from the Army, healed up, ready, make the Steelers roster, starting position beside Franco Harris and Super Bowl champs. It was a bit of a few-year struggle.
That's right. I mean, so it didn't happen overnight. I did come back. And, you know, and the Steelers and the Rooney family, as great as they are, really gave me an opportunity. And when I first came back, they put me in injured reserve. I had another operation. I had shrapnel still in my leg. And so then the following year, they put me on the developmental squad or the taxi squad, and I got to practice with the team. And so they gave me 2 years to heal, to get stronger, to come back, do something with that opportunity. So in 1972, I got a chance to make the team, playing special teams and so on. And so you're there, 72, and then 73, and then it really wasn't until, well, probably fourth, fifth game of the season in 74, injuries had taken place with a couple other running backs, and you get an opportunity again to play. And Franco was starting fullback, and I became the starting halfback by default, but I wasn't going to let that go. And so I fought for it, and we had then played the remaining part of that decade and came back with four Super Bowls.
Alrighty, so in 1975, after that first Super Bowl win, you co-authored the book Fighting Back, which was, we alluded to earlier, it was made into a movie of the same name. You've now released an updated special edition with a couple of new chapters entitled Fighting Back, The Inspirational Journey of American Hero Rocky Blyer. What did you want to include in the new material?
Well, you know, there was a couple things. One, it was, I think, 20 years since I had last wrote a little epilogue on kind of bringing it up to date from 1975. And just to see what had taken place, family that was raised and what was happening and what's happening in my life. Secondly, was that I was getting a lot of feedback. Well, I periodically from people who would say, oh, you know, the first book I was in fifth grade or sixth grade or junior high or maybe even high school back then was your book, Fighting Back. What a wonderful book, blah, blah, blah. And so then it was like, okay, I thought, well, maybe there's a whole generation out there that, one, doesn't know the Rocky Blyer story, is that of our grandkids to those who got that back in fifth grade. And so we wanted to include that generation. So who had a great experience the first time around might come back and say, hey, you need to read this book. Here's an updated version, and I'm going to get it for your birthday or for a gift or whatever it might be. Right. So that was our idea, and that was the impetus.
All right, we have just about 3 minutes left. Now, some people might want to avoid connections with other veterans, bring back bad memories. You have a bad memory. But the proceeds from this book benefiting veterans groups, correct? And why did you want to continue that connection with veterans who are younger than you and maybe you're saying,
Well, you know, I mean, through my experience, so as I came back very quickly, you know, as I said earlier, the Vietnam veteran specifically was not getting recognized for their contribution to this country. All of a sudden, I became like a poster boy for the veterans because I was the first Vietnam veteran that was getting recognized. I was talking about their experience because of coming back and playing in a high-profile industry. So it became a natural attachment for me to be able to help veterans throughout this period of time. One from a recognition point of view, just to be able to thank a veteran for his service, whether you agree with the conflict or not,
right.
But the fact that he had served his country. That became very important. Also, at times, a veteran goes through a lot of problems, just that withdrawal, retirement. And so if you can be a voice of awareness that the American people might not understand what that veteran or even a first responder goes through the same kind of traumatic experience after they come back from being in conflict. And so that's what we're trying to do is expose the American people to the fact that, you know, veterans do need help. And it's not just the VA. It's outside. It's within our community. And there are programs that are out there that I want to support and that the book supports to be able to support our local veterans.
So you fought back from horrible leg injuries. What in just our remaining left, a minute left, what do you think today's veterans, as you talk to them, what are they fighting back from?
The biggest thing about today's veteran and professional army that we have is the repeated departures that they go through. So those who are in combat have gone back to the Middle East 2-3 times. And so if you look at the statistics, just from a marital point of view, I mean, in our country, I'll just say, if it's 50% of chance that your marriage is going to work. Okay, so that's a divorce rate. You go into the service, it goes up to 65%. You go one deployment, it goes up to 70%. You go to two deployments, it goes up to 85%. And you think of the lives that are affected within the family and so on. So just that is an awareness factor of multiple deployments and then having to deal with the trauma that goes along with this. So that is what I would like the American people to understand as well, is that it's just not because it affects our community and it affects a trickle-down effect to extended family and so on. So it becomes very important.
The new edition of the book is Fighting Back, The Inspirational Journey of American Hero Rocky Blyer. 30 seconds, Rocky. I mentioned at the beginning you've had an amazing journey from Wisconsin to Notre Dame to Vietnam to Pittsburgh and Super Bowl champs. Just a few seconds, of course, to a successful businessman. What's the next step for your journey?
Well, the next step, that's a good question. Next step is make sure that we get this book out and that becomes very successful and we take care of our obligations there. And so then the other thing is I'm pushing the play, and so we're taking that on the road as well.
Rocky Blyer, thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.